Here it is. It is 2013 Chicago with David Bunzel. Do you prefer David or Dave?
David.
David. Executive Director of PSIA. So what's new with the organization? What are the trends, and how are is the push for standardization progressing?
Well, we've been working for the last 5 years on putting together a whole suite of different specifications supporting access, intrusion, as well as our early ones with video storage and analytics. More recently, we've been doing a couple of different things that are complementing that. One of the things is we've announced our beta tools for our area control, specifically related to access. We expect that we're going to have the finished tools very shortly. In addition, at the show, we demonstrated an interoperability with Cisco's Operations Center using Linnell Access Control, Inovonix, Intrusion, as well as cameras that were PSI implemented from IQ Envision and Ericon. Everything working together smoothly in a PSIA environment or ecosystem. Also, one of the things that they incorporated into it, but it wasn't directly tied to the PSIA, was building automation features. And we expect that some of our specifications and protocols will fall over into that world as well. One of the other announcements that we had at the show was our first effort to broach into logical security. So we have a new group, work group that's forming called the Physical Logical Access Interoperability Work Group, and it's going to be dealing with credential management and credential and identity management, going from the logical side, oftentimes HR, down into the security side. Right now it's kind of a separated process where oftentimes the credential management or the permissions are provided by HR on an email or some indirect means. We'll be able to automate that whole process and have it much more seamless.
What about in terms of membership? How is that going, and who are some of the new members, and what how are you trying to attract more members?
So membership is, we've gotten a very, very strong following. I would say more like who's who in terms of the access and intrusion industry. Most of the major players in that group are involved. We have a lot of camera companies that were involved, have been kind of involved almost since the start. We have one of the announcements this time was a new board member. Microsoft has joined, and Microsoft is going to be putting a lot of weight behind the organization because they feel that, and frankly, it's the Microsoft Security Operations Group, not the products group or software groups. It's actually their security operations, but they feel that they need to get involved in this. They feel it's an important thing that will not only support their business, but also the industry.
What's the biggest message you want to get out to the integrator community right now? What's the most important to get out to them?
Well, for the integrator community, we're here to try and make things easier for you. We're trying to make these different specifications allow easier interoperability between devices. It's going to cut down, hopefully, on a lot of the pain points that exist now with a lot of custom integration work that's needed. We're not going to be in the near-term plug-and-play, but obviously our objective over time is having some sort of plug-and-play capability of these devices. So there's not as much work. We feel that will allow the market to grow bigger, give people more opportunities, allow them to focus on specifying what they need, but have a lot of different choices without having to do a lot of custom integration.
And how does your presence at a show like ASIS differ from what you might do at an ISC? Is there any difference?
I think at ASIS we're actually dealing with more of the integrator community than ISC West. ISC West, we do a lot of work with some of the manufacturers and some of the companies that are actually implementing products. But here we have an opportunity to go out to people who are dealing more with the market and the customers. And that's a very important perspective and insight that we like to get and keep tabs on.
And the logical side that you're branching into now, are there some new members specifically for that part of it, or what kind of mind share are you getting, and how are you putting it together, and what's the execution plan?
Well, we've just actually made the public announcement this week, so we're starting to, we're relying primarily on companies that have been involved. Microsoft is a new one that is very interested in this area, but we expect that we're going to be getting people who are involved in the CRM and some of the enterprise level, like the HR, the people who are managing the HR systems of PeopleSoft and Salesforce.com and possibly Oracle and some of those companies involved, because they feel the need for things like this.
We've been, advocating integrators to, you know, security integrators to give a shot at getting into some of the automation type functionality now that the systems are merging together more. Do you see what you're doing as a helping them accomplish that and broaden and diversify what they do through interoperability that includes some automation as well?
I think it really depends on the orientation of the integrator. Some integrators are much more IT-oriented or willing to kind of broach in that area. Some integrators are not as inclined to do that. So it really depends and comes down to the perspective and the interest and I guess the more progressive ones are looking at IT as an area to get into. I'm not saying that the other ones are not progressive, but they tend to follow more of a traditional path to support customers. So as long as they're looking at IT and IP, we think that they're good candidates to get more involved in some of the things that we're doing.
What's the biggest challenge of your role right now?
I think the biggest challenge is to figure out what level is going to be influencing the decision first. I think if you talk to end users, the customers, if you sit down with some of the security operations managers and explain to them what we're doing, they get it, they understand it, they think that it's a great idea. But they're only one part of the chain. We have to make sure that the manufacturers all buy into the process, put these specifications in products. It's very helpful if specifiers and consultants also agree to promote the concept. But I think there's not necessarily a complete connect of the whole system. So we're not sure if it's going to be coming from below, where these customers are going to be demanding it, or it's going to be coming from the middle. But we know that we can only do so much to produce the products with the specifications and all the technology in it. It needs to come also from the market. The market's got to basically be requesting it, implementing it in real life situations, and then people will recognize that it is something that works. It's something worth considering.
And do you feel like we're at a point now where it's got more momentum than it had a couple years ago, or is it sort of the same, or, you know, where would you put that arc?
I would say it's different momentum. So now we're hearing more of people saying they get it, but transitioning from they get the concept, they get what's going on, and them actually getting it out in the market with products, we're still in that area where people are not quite sure. We have to get a couple more things done. I think one of the things that standards you have to do is there's a number of different processes. One of them that we're involved with right now and very active with is finalizing our test tools for area control. We have test tools for cameras. We've had that for 3-4 years. But unless you have a good set of tools that assures that the product is going to be compliant, it's only so valuable to the market. Once you have compliant products, people have confidence in the compliance tools and the tests, then you're going to have a much more robust environment to be able to promote these products.
There seems to be still some confusion or question in the marketplace, you know, of ONVIF versus PSIA. Maybe you're getting tired of hearing that, but could you again explain if they differ, how they differ, why maybe both are good to the marketplace?
So if you look at the start of the industry, PSIA was first in the market, and we introduced our video spec first. ONVIF came to the market with a couple of camera companies that were leading their effort. So they tend to, over time, take a very camera-centric viewpoint. They've discussed some other initiatives that they're involved with, but we, from the very early start, looked at a systems approach to it. And I think that's the difference. We have an enterprise-oriented systems approach. We're not necessarily camera-centric. Cameras are one part of the whole ecosystem. So it's a little bit different in terms of approach. I think, you know, there's neither one of the products is active in actual market implementations of consequence. There's some small ones, but even, you know, the ones that have gone into the market, they're actually using, for example, the really video is the only thing that's in the market right now. OnViv has had some that's in the market, but I don't know if the customers are actually going beyond requesting that as OnViv implementation as opposed to it actually using OnViv. Many of the cameras that are out there right now, they're using the proprietary format of the camera as opposed to OnViv. So in our cameras, you know, we have some installations that have gone out in the market. They are using the PSIA implementation. They have the capability to integrate with the access control. Is it active? Is it significant in the market? I would say it's relatively limited right now.
One of the criticisms I hear from the integrators is that some of the demos are impressive, but they're sort of like laboratory environments, and the features and functionality are you know, very limited compared to, you know, if it was universally you know, interoperable. What would you say to that, and are we going to move beyond, you know, what we see now, or what is the ultimate goal?
So some of the early demonstrations that we had actually were put together by the PSI with our member companies. And I guess people could argue that those were done before the show, but they clearly relied on the specs. They clearly showed interoperability. But what's of more interest right now is at this show, we had actually a customer, Cisco's operations department, do it independently of the organization. They basically took products that they were using that had PSIA implementations, they integrated it into a system, they showed it and demonstrated working together very smoothly, access intrusion, cameras, and they did it without the organization's involvement. They did it as a proof of concept that potentially they can deploy in their security operations. So I think that's a little bit more valid than just the manufacturers putting together one that could be, you know, basically just set up to support the show. And ours hasn't been. We've relied on the standards and the specifications. But, you know, if people wanted to see something real, at Monday's demonstration, they saw something that a customer put together, not the organization.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?